If you had said to me 12 months ago I would be up here preaching or being considered as an elder for this church, I would have asked what you were on, is it legal, and if it was, please speak to your doctor about the dosage and the side effects. When Bernard was diagnosed with cancer last year, it shocked us all. It also became apparent to us how much we all depend on both Bernard and Esther, the many things they do for this church and the part they play in all our lives. It also challenged many of us to step up and do things we never thought we could or would do. I can honestly say I would not be up here now if it wasn't for their input and encouragement in my life over the last 14 or so years. Public speaking is not my thing. Just ask anyone who's been to one of our kids' birthday parties over the years. I've never been good at it. I'm extremely uncomfortable in doing it, and apologise to you all now that Rod has seen fit to put you all through this. Right, let's open with prayer, part of which is an old Anglican prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day and your holy word. Thank you that we come here free today freely and study it and learn more about you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through my words this morning and will comfort and challenge each of us as we need to be. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, kindly make us. For your Son's sake. Amen. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 18 for today's passage, we're reading from verses 35 through to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. When I first read this passage, it all looked a self-explanatory and a simple healing miracle. Jesus, the disciples, and a crowd passing through Jericho. They were on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. A blind beggar called out for healing. The crowd initially rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Then Jesus tells the crowd to call the blind man over, and they do, and he's healed. All pretty straightforward, really. If we look at Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, we get a few more details. Mark tells us the beggar's name is Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, and also that the crowd tell him to cheer up once Jesus tells them to call him. The more I thought on this over the following weeks, a couple of things started to stand out for me. The cry, "Son of David," and the crowd's initial negative response. This gave me the 4 points that I'm going to speak on this morning. The beggar's request, the crowd's rebuke, Jesus' response, and the beggar's relief. The beggar's request. We read as Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind beggar was seated by the road. Jericho would have been a prime location for beggars to gather. Jericho was a tax collection centre and on the main highway to Jerusalem. After all, there's no point begging on the back roads where almost no one passes by, is there? Bartimaeus, while obviously unable to observe with his eyes, would have been able to hear well. It is said that if you lose one sense, it heightens the others. And we see further along in this passage that his ears and voice worked well. He hears the crowd going by and asks what was happening. They tell him Jesus of Nazareth is passing. He calls out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Why does he call out Jesus, son of David? Why not Jesus of Nazareth? That is who the crowd told him was passing by when he asked what the commotion was. How did he make the connection to Jesus being the son of David and not just call out Jesus, son of Joseph, a carpenter from Nazareth. Being a beggar, most people would have forgotten he was there, or intentionally pretended not to see him. Like that person you see in Woolies that you really just couldn't make the effort to speak to today, so you get out the first aisle and hope they don't see you. Bartimaeus would have become part of the furniture, so to speak. While he was sitting there, he would have heard all the latest gossip from the passing travellers, all about Jesus, his miracles, his teachings, and that Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. He would have heard it from the people who believed in Jesus, those who were indifferent, and from those who opposed Jesus. He would have heard about Jesus in the synagogue, reading the scroll of Isaiah, and how Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." He would have heard how Jesus then said that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Bartimaeus' words, when he calls out Jesus, son of David, show his belief that Jesus is the Messiah. He's heard all the stories and latest gossip, and he's decided that Jesus' claims are true. Jews believed that the Messiah would be a descendant of King David, so he uses the more official title to call out to Jesus. His request is one of belief in Jesus, and that Jesus and Jesus alone had the power to heal him. And we have the crowd's rebuke. Those at the front of the crowd initially rebuked Bartimaeus, telling him to be quiet. The more I thought about this, the more curious I became. Why did they shush him? Wasn't a lot of the crowd there just to see the show, the next healing, to get the next free feed? We see in other places in the Bible where the crowd, once they realise there's no miracle or show to see, a lot of them just leave. Is that the case here? I think it is worth considering the makeup of the crowd as well, or more perhaps the order of the people in it. The crowd was following Jesus, so he was probably at the front, because you can't really be following someone if they are behind you. It would also make sense then that the disciples, his chosen 12, were right there with him at the front. Then you would get the general followers and rubberneckers, etc. So it is likely that even some of the disciples themselves were among those who rebuked Bartimaeus. Or perhaps consider their destination. They were on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. They were expecting Jesus to raise up the Jewish people, defeat their enemies, and establish his kingdom. After all, he was the Messiah. They were possibly thinking that this was an unnecessary distraction that would delay them. After all, they were on a mission from God. Maybe it's because as they walked, Jesus taught the disciples. In the Bible, we are not told all of his teachings or what he taught, or all of what he taught or said to the disciples. I would expect as they walked from place to place that Jesus taught them as they travelled. Just like today, where we can listen to sermons and podcasts or audiobooks while we travel in our cars. They may have been struggling to hear what Jesus was saying over the general noise of the crowd, or struggling to comprehend it, and the cry from Bartimaeus was distracting them. Like an annoying fly flying around incessantly while you're trying to cut up and pack the bacon you just smoked. It's an annoyance that you wish would just buzz off and you could concentrate on getting the job done. Regardless, we aren't told of the exact reason why the crowd initially rebuked Bartimaeus. But as you'd expect of a man who's thinking this may be his only chance to be healed, he cries out again, even louder than the first time. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears him and responds. Which brings us to the crowd's response. Jesus' response to the crowd mostly at first. Bartimaeus' plea to Jesus does not go unheard or rejected like it was by the crowd. Jesus doesn't answer Bartimaeus directly though. He corrects the crowd by getting them to call Bartimaeus themselves. It's the people who moments before that were telling Bartimaeus to be silent that are now told by Jesus to call him. It's a teaching moment for the disciples and for us. Just like a few verses earlier where Jesus rebuked the disciples for stopping the children coming to him, he's reminding them, us, and the crowd that even the people we see as little, unworthy, or just annoying are precious to him. He welcomes them with open arms when they call on him. We need to make sure we are not focusing on the next big thing the church is doing, where we are going for lunch after the service, what jobs we have to do this afternoon, or when your team is playing, and then miss seeing the people in need around us. Make sure we see the trees in the forest, so to speak. There can be many distractions in our Christian walk and ministry that can take our attention away from people around us. For example, Ricky and I, before we got married, were driving to Brisbane for one of our friends' weddings. It was just on sunset and the windscreen was filthy. I've put the windscreen washers on to clean it, and in the mess and concentrating on getting the windscreen clean, I missed seeing the kangaroo that decided at that moment to jump out, and we've hit it. Focusing on getting this windscreen clean was a distraction, a worthy distraction, and it could have helped us arrive at our destination safely, but it also hindered me from seeing the kangaroo at that exact moment. In the same way, a distraction, whether it's for a good cause or not, can stop us seeing the people in need around us. As Rod told us this morning and most weeks, don't let anyone stand or sit by themselves at Smoko. Go out of your comfort zone. Go say hi to someone you don't know. You never know what a kind word or attentive ear can mean to someone in need. The crowd's tune quickly changes now that Jesus has told them to call Bartimaeus. They call him and tell him, "Cheer up, Jesus is calling you." How sweet that must have been to Bartimaeus' ears. The Messiah was calling him. And so we have the beggar's relief. Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wants, and he replies, "Lord, let me recover my sight." Jesus replies, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he receives his sight and follows Jesus, praising God. When all the people see it, they also praise God. Bartimaeus' faith is from hearing the stories about Jesus while sitting on the road begging. He is recognised from them that Jesus is the Messiah and calls him as such when he cries, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Despite the discouragement of the crowd, he persists and calls again and again and again, demonstrating a strong and unwavering faith in Jesus' power to heal him and Jesus' willingness to hear him. He receives his sight and follows Jesus, praising God. The people all see the miracle and join Bartimaeus in praising God. So briefly, a few points to sum up and apply. We need to be more like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, while physically blind, had a spiritual vision and awareness that surpassed many of the crowd who rebuked him. He recognised that Jesus was the Messiah. Bartimaeus also persisted. Despite the crowd's rebukes, he persists time and time again to call out to Jesus. His persistence and belief in Christ leads to his healing. We need to have a faith in Christ and to be persistent in calling on Jesus for our daily needs, no matter how big or small. We are also challenged to not be like the crowd, the people who rebuke Bartimaeus when he cries out for help. We need to be willing to listen to the people around us, not to push them away or to be rude because we are too busy, too tired. There's nothing in it for us. We just couldn't be bothered with them today. We are challenged to respond to them like Jesus did to Bartimaeus. We need to be willing and ready to help those in need. We can also take comfort in the fact that Jesus hears his cry. He will hear your cry too and respond to you. We see that promise in this morning's Old Testament reading and in many other places in the Bible. Jesus won't be like the crowd and ignore you when you call on him. He won't be too busy or too good or in a hurry to see the next show. He sees us in our pain and our need. He hears our cries for help and is always there for us. We just need to call on him. Just like Bartimaeus needed Jesus to heal his sight, Our sins are only able to be made right by the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross and faith in him. Without him, we are lost, just like Bartimaeus' vision. So be of good cheer. Jesus is calling you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your holy word, the Bible. We thank you that we can read it and we can study it and learn from it. We ask as we go out into this week that you'll convict us of the things we need to change and to comfort us in our times of need and distress. Help us to see those in need around us and to call on you for our needs and in times of trial. Help us to trust in you, to see our need of you to heal and save us, just like Bartimaeus did. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.